Om Shanti. Welcome to this special panel. So is everybody either center coordinator, national coordinator, or health professional? This is only for them. Others will be attending general class in Harmony Hall. So we are in at a time of confluence where stress, tension is increasing and the psychological diseases are also increasing. As far as I know the statistics, 1 in 4, that is 25% of the population in the world, is suffering from some mental disorders. And unfortunately, those patients are very much attracted to spirituality. Because they don't get love or respect or support from anywhere else. And Brahmins are so nice and loving and sweet and having such brotherly feeling that our vibrations attract them. They mainly come because they enjoy the atmosphere vibration and our pure feelings, good feelings. Now, usually what happens is, I don't know how many countries have this system, but we are supposed to, when they come, they fill up the form. How many countries have the system of filling up the form as soon as the new students come? Raise your hand. So in that form that they fill up, we have any one column, are you suffering from any disease, any mental disease also. But sometimes some center coordinators are a bit shy to ask this question. And because people are sensitive also, so what we do is usually, even on the first day, when we are giving introduction to meditation, we say that if any of you have any problem, psychological problem, please check with your GP or specialist whether you can carry on meditation or not. Because some of those, they like to be beyond everything. They are not really in this world, psychological patient. And so they find it easy with meditation to remain beyond. And so some of the diseases, it's not good to practice meditation. And so we really ask them whether they are under any treatment or what. Also, today we are specially having this panel of three specialists. Gentlemen, she will narrate her experience and expertise. Then Dr. Nikhil Patel from Global Hospital, who is a psychiatrist here. And Gopi from Australia. She is also a psychiatric nurse. So all of them will share their experience. Because we need to first recognize that there is something problem with the student. And we had to deal with them. And naturally, unless we are knowledgeful about that. We sometimes, what happens is sometimes Brahman family is so merciful, if we restrain somebody from coming to class, they say, oh no, no, Baba's knowledge is for everyone, why you don't allow these people to come to class, but they don't understand. No, Brahman family don't understand how it is damaging that person as well as Baba's service. And so we need to know also how to deal with those people. And so this is just a session where they will share their views for 20 minutes, each of them, and then you can ask the question answer to them. And I think it will be better after one speaker sharing, you can ask the question to that person. I think it will be better, isn't it, Diane? What do you feel? So they will have to write it down. Write it down if you have question whilst you are listening. If you have any question, you write it down and then you can direct those questions to the speaker. And so naturally, so we have given you 3 hours so that you can have as much time as you want to ask your questions. Because there are many questions and many things to be clarified, and naturally still in case you need any advice, your local person should be there in contact with you so that you are able to get their advice, because nowadays we try to have some health professional who are in Gyan to use their expertise for certain cases. We need psychiatrist, lawyer, accountant, all sorts of people we need, because we are living in the world where everybody can sue anybody, And so you should know what you are doing, because sometimes we are doing something nice to help people. At the same time, what happens? That somebody, if they are at any loss after getting your advice, they can sue you also. And it happened to me also. Yeah, because one of from Dr. Patel. So it happened to me because one of our sisters who had been in Yan for a while, she had some problem. And I advised her that I restrained her from coming to class, because at the end of the class, she will write something on the board, bang the door and go. She was distracting class. She did many, many things. Because once she was so upset, she said, I got knife in my car. If you don't allow me to do this thing, you'll see the bloodshed. And once she pulled off all the wires of her phone connection, and she was so violent and so angry, we had to call police to take her away from there. So, and then she filed case against me that I didn't allow her to come to class, so this under this Discrimination Act. And now luckily we had our lawyer Bhupat Chakrapani with us, so we got the advice how to deal with that case as we produce all the evidence. And so it is always good to keep your, anything if abnormal happening, if person's behavior is abnormal, it should be reported in your center, some register or somewhere, that this happened and there should be signature of the witness, so that in future if something goes wrong, you have got all evidence. So that's how couple of times people have been so upset, and they don't, because these crazy people don't admit that they are crazy. The whole world is crazy, they are only good people. And so we need to be careful about them and how to deal with them. So without further ado, I'll invite Chayan and Gopi. And Dr. Nikhil Patel, all of you know him? He's working in Global Hospital. He will introduce himself. Even I haven't taken his biodata, so everybody will introduce themselves and share what they had to share. Om Shanti. I won't be able to stay for the whole session because we have our office meeting going on.
A little bit louder. There we go. There we go. Okay, great. Okay. Om Shanti. So, welcome. Have any of you ever had a student with a mental health problem? Okay, Father, oh, that's much better. Okay, wonderful. Have any of you ever had a problem with a student? I was just joking. Oh, gosh. Anyhow, welcome. How are you all doing? Great. So, anyhow, the three of us have been invited to do this session with you. And it evolved because Gopi and I were asked to do some thinking with the Global Functioning Project with mental illness. And so we've been talking on Skype and communicating. And what we've looked at is what is the culture of care and what is the duty of care in regards to mental health. Gopi and I are both center coordinators and for many, many years. And so we've had a variety of experiences, and then we have our professional experience. So it combines in an interesting way. And so we were asked to prepare a one-page summary for the Global Functioning Team. And just before we were asked to prepare that, I got an email from an anti-DK, and it was wonderful because he gave me a link to an anti-DK site, and it was terrific. It gave me everything I needed to know that we need to address in our mental health resource manual. You know, and some of them I thought were really great concerns. Some of it, yes, was discriminatory. But some of them, I thought they made some great points. And so Gopi and I, along with consultation from other people, will be preparing a resource manual for you. And I'd like to describe that. And at the end of the session, after your sessions, we're also going to give you a survey on what your concerns are and what problems you've had and what you'd like in the future, so that that can be provided. But the culture of care, I think, in the global functioning conversations, it's been a wonderful process, I think, for most centers and for individuals that have been engaged in that culture of care conversation. I think it's been healthy. I think it's been constructive. I think we've made great gains in just having open communication, so that's been great. If we're looking at that in terms of mental health, then I think the first thing we need to consider is our own mental health. Are we having burnout? There's traffic control. Are we doing traffic control? Om Shanti. So, and we will very briefly address good mental health for the self. You know, the need for rest, the need for a healthy diet, the need for healing our own emotions and accepting ourselves and truly loving ourselves at a deep level. The manual will also look at things like suicide, you know, how to recognize signs that people may be suicidal, what to do about that, how to deal with low self-esteem. You know, do's and don'ts with people with a history of drug and alcohol abuse. And I could go into that, but I don't want to right now, because I want to mainly deal with one issue right now. And the issue is of people that come to the center with serious mental illnesses, particularly with illnesses that can lead to psychosis, people with a history of psychosis. Because meditation is not actually recommended for people with psychosis. And as we've been talking about this, I know that Australia has been telling people that for several years, but most countries do not. And so there is something that's called a duty of care. And a duty of care is when people have an obligation to care for other people, and in particular to protect them from harm. And so one of the things that we're working on is developing a very simple one page that lists the benefits of meditation first, and then says, do you have a history of serious mental illness? If so, meditation may not be for you. And explains why. And explains that even if they do decide to meditate, it's very important to continue to follow the treatment that they have worked out with their psychiatrist, that there is a need for medication. Now, there's three major psychiatric illnesses which can involve psychosis. And those are bipolar disorder, which is also called, it used to be called manic depressive disorder, schizophrenia, and major depressive disorder. That's very different than common depression, and Dr. Patel will tell you the differences between those two things. In the manual, we will list very clearly the signs of those things. Not that you will need to diagnose it, but the question is, there's two things. One, we need to inform people that are coming to the center for the first time that meditation could be harmful if they have a history of this history. And we need to be very clear about that. But there are also BKs that have those illnesses that are already BKs. So, you know, are they staying on their medications? A lot of our problems occur when they don't stay on their medications. And so what to do? And so what I thought would probably be most useful is the encouragement of Gopi and another person in the room was to describe some of these things. Bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and major depressive disorder. Especially with suicidal tendencies. And Dr. Patel will talk about that. But let me tell you a few stories, okay? I remember once I had invited this soul to do karma yoga in the center. And I knew that she was bipolar, but she really kept saying, "Can't I help clean Baba's house? Can't I help clean Baba's house?" So finally one day I said yes. Mistake. She brought some tea, some beautiful tea in colored green bottles. And she brought some other juice. And when I went downstairs, I noticed that they're in a pattern on the front porch, and she set up an altar. And then she's cleaning the blinds, and she's going, "Ah, oh, look how clean this is." One trial learning. I did not ask her to do karma yoga at the house anymore. She could handle group class. She did okay when she was in a group. She would occasionally come to Murley, like once a week, and she handled it pretty well. But when she was off her medications, she would start to become very delusional. And every time she went off her medications and entered into delusion, she would get worse. She tended to maintain her delusions. But what happened is that when she was manic, she did not handle the vibrations of the center because they are elevated. And she would become more loose, more disorganized, more disjointed. And so it was not good for her. If I wanted her to do karma yoga, then assign her karma yoga and not in the center. Limit the time in the center for a person like that. May I do karma yoga? You know, that would be lovely, but it's all done. But you know, what we need to do, I need some blessings. Could you make some blessings or cut some? Here, let me give you some and you can bring them back next week. Okay? So limit their time in the center if they're really into a manic episode. Now, manic is being very active. One manic person I knew, they said, "Oh, you have viral laryngitis? Great, I can do all the talking." But people with bipolar disorder, they can be very manic. They can go for days without sleeping. They can have volatile anger. They can go into psychotic episodes, they can become delusional, they can become paranoid, they can become very psychotic. One person I knew, she would take everything off the walls and take everything out of the closets and pile it into a room and want to purify it. And guess how she decided to purify it? You got it. Hide the matches. But these are real stories, you know. So, you know, people that have like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or manic depressive disorder, they can be highly functioning when they are getting appropriate treatment. For example, there was a center Niwasi, and the center Niwasi was very intelligent, very serviceable. When she was on her medications, the appropriate dosage, she bloomed. She loves Baba deeply, and she just bloomed. But bloom means she grew. She blossomed like a flower. But she decided to prove that Raj Yoga cured all mental illness. So she gradually reduced her meds and then went off of them. Within a matter of months, she became psychotic. Okay? So, you know, I know that in another country I was visiting, there was a Brahmin who was bipolar, and she'd been there for a number of years, and then she too decreased her meds and was angry frequently and blaming and never satisfied and very manic and very inappropriate. So with something like that, you can say something. This is something that you may or may not be comfortable with, and we can do some role playing with this if you like in February or in March. But with something like this, you can say to the person, you know, a few months ago, a few years ago, your dharana was like this. You were so patient, and you were handling your issues, and you were very compassionate, and you did this well, and you did this well, and you did this well. And what I'm noticing is that in the last couple of months, all these other things are happening. And so, is there a change you'd like to tell me about? You said you shared before you were seeing a psychiatrist. How is that going? Are you still on your medication? Find out. Say, you know, because you were doing so well, I could see that the meditation and Baba's knowledge was really helping you. But at this point in time, I'm not seeing you take benefit. You know, when you're on your medications, your brain's in chemical balance. When your brain is chemically balanced, you can make a lot more spiritual progress. So you may want to consider seeing your psychiatrist again and getting his or her advice on some appropriate treatment. If they're not willing to do that, then talk to your national coordinator. Talk to the regional coordinator. It may be time to say, these behaviors aren't allowed in the center. And while you're exhibiting these behaviors, you need to not come to class. This is something that we will have to discuss in smaller groups, but it's certainly something that some countries are doing now, and it is beneficial for the person. When they are on appropriate medication, their life is normal. Manic people, bipolar people can do a lot of things that are very harmful to their well-being. I have known people with bipolar disorders who set fire to the house, spend $15,000 a week buying jewelry, they go through all their savings. This is not a nice disease. Medications, as Baba says, are the fruit of this age. It is not doing them a favor to not say anything. It is also not doing a favor to think you're going to turn off people by telling them that meditation can be harmful if they have a history of psychosis. For example, I got an email this week from one of the teachers. She said the student did not come for lesson number 5. And she told her that it was because she's put herself back in the hospital to day treatment because her psychosis is reemerging. We had another student last year, had a problem with major depressive disorder for years. So after he was attending Murali daily, after he was attending Murali every day for about 5 weeks, he said to me, you know, sometimes when I'm meditating, all of a sudden I find myself in a dark room and all these people are talking to me. Has that ever happened to you? No. Well, I went on a trip, and a week later he told one of the students, well, you know, Jesus appeared, and he told me that I'm not to attend Raj Yoga anymore. Thank God for Jesus. I mean, we should have informed both of these souls that there could be a problem with meditation if they have a history of psychosis. And this is not something we've been doing in the USA, and so it's something that we will be doing, at least in our center. And I know that there has been a suggestion to do that, and some centers are doing it and some centers are not. Anyhow, what you don't want is to have someone relapse unnecessarily. Because each time someone goes into psychosis, it can debilitate them further. And I've seen people, when they go into psychosis multiple times, it affects them. They don't recover, some of them, as well as they were before. And that's sort of sad. So this is something that we need to educate our close Brahmin families about when there is a problem so that they can understand. So that they aren't sliding up on the person with a bipolar disorder and ganging up against you. We need to inform people that following the measurement that they have with their doctor or the psychiatrist is beneficial for people. It allows them to be safe. It allows them to take care of their everyday functioning. It allows them to lead a normal life. It allows them to be elevated. So I'd like to start there, and Dr. Patel will be defining for you major depressive disorder, the differences between that and common depression, schizophrenia, and some of his experiences with Western BKs that have mental health problems.
Okay. Thank you. Om Shanti. And a very good evening. While Sister Diane was describing some case histories of different patients, probably you were visualizing the episodes of psychosis, and I could see that there were some vibrations of distress on your faces, instant distress. Don't be scared of all these psychotic problems. Let those psychotic patients be left for the psychiatrists like us, who will this kind of patients be in and be out. Nonetheless, as has been said, I'm going to describe some symptoms of schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and of course major depression with melancholia, severe depression with suicidal tendency and other things. I'm supposed to talk for 20 minutes, huh? I'm going to... Because there is a little clock lying on the table for the speaker, so okay. So I can talk a little more also?
Maximum 25.
Okay. Maximum 25.
I'll poke you when it's over.
Thank you. Before I let you know the different signs and symptoms of this kind of diseases, many of you may not be familiar with this kind of patients. I would give you a general picture of health scenario where the specialty of mental health and practice of psychiatry is standing as of today. World Health Organization has been revising the definition of health over the decades. About 50 years back, the definition of health described by World Health Organization used to comprise of only physical health. Whereas the latest definition of health includes not only physical health, but it does include physical, mental, social, and spiritual as well. Although there is no consensus amongst the policymakers regarding the exact definition of spiritual health, but they do acknowledge that there is an aspect of spiritual health which cannot be ignored. All types of health, physical, mental, social, and spiritual, all four kinds of health are equally important. Although mental health is intimately connected with spiritual health, it's different from spiritual health. Although mind, as we all are aware of, is the faculty of soul, but mental health is categorically separated from spiritual health. I'll give you a few examples about that. For example, we have some pakka surrendered Baba's Brahmins who have phobias of cockroaches, who have phobias of going onto the stage phobia, right? Public speaking phobia. This is a phobia. This is a psychiatric illness, which is a treatable illness. Nobody is going to kill you when you are going to speak something in front of a gathering. Then there is no reason why you should be scared. But then, there are few BKs, or some BKs, if you hand them over the mic, which I am holding right now, and ask them to speak in front of a gathering, would start trembling and sweating. This is phobia. In simple terminology, it is known as phobia. Excessive and unrealistic and persistent fear of a particular object or situation. Common phobias which you all are aware of, like phobia of darkness, phobia of animals, phobia of particular situations like exams or public speaking or interview or these days different kinds of flying, flying the aeroplane, especially after 9/11. Some people have phobias of the lifts, narrow spaces. Documented phobias are more than 3,000, So I may not go into the details of those phobias, but this is in short what a psychiatric illness can be. And if you are aware of it, you can take care of it. If you aren't aware of it, obviously you can't cure it. You won't take trouble to get rid of it unless you are aware of it. So mental health or mental illnesses, which are very well defined, can be there in any spiritual person, including Baba's children. And for that matter, we have to be very, very aware of your own mental health. As has been said by Sister Time, the psychotic patients or psychotic people who come to the centers can get benefited by Baba's philosophy and Baba's family. But at the same time, they can also deteriorate. Their condition can worsen if they have already been suffering from pre-existing psychotic disorder. Spirituality has been studied scientifically by the psychiatrists all over the world. It has been found to be a double-edged sword. It can cure the mental illnesses. At the same time, it can worsen the illnesses. Provided you are aware of the fact that the patient doesn't have any major psychotic illness like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. Most of the psychiatric illnesses other than these illnesses can actually be helped by spiritual practices, including Baba's knowledge and Raj Yoga meditation. At the same time, you should be knowledgeable about the common signs and symptoms of this major psychiatric illnesses. It's also true that psychotic illnesses include many different illnesses. One of them is schizophrenia, the other is bipolar disorder, the other is dementia, which happens in old age when person starts losing memory, recent memory, and then, you know, starts behaving abnormally, has insomnia and abnormal behavior and other things. You must have seen dementic old-aged people, and they many times go into psychotic episodes. Dementia, delirium. Delirium is an organic psychosis which occurs because of injury to the brain in the form of high-grade fever or head injury or fever of the brain, encephalitis, or different kinds of illnesses like meningitis, encephalitis, cerebral malaria. And these are the patients who are not only treated by the physicians, family physicians, but they also need to be treated by the psychiatrists and preferably in the hospital. They usually have acute episodes of psychosis secondary to high-grade fever or meningitis or head injury or acute drug intoxication and other things. Barring this kind of patients, which usually do not end up in the center as students, those who have suffered from schizophrenia or bipolar disorder in past, and you may not be aware of the past history of those students unless they tell you or their relatives tell you, you won't be able to know whether they had past episodes of schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. You really won't be able to judge whether they were suffering from major psychiatric illnesses like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. At the same time, you are not there to diagnose somebody's illness. But there are some gross signs and symptoms which you should be aware of so that there cannot be any mishap at the center. As Dr. Nirmala Devi also said, we should be a little cautious about this kind of illnesses. If I have to describe what schizophrenia is or what it can be like, as Sister Diane already said, these are the patients who have delusions or hallucinations. I hope you know what I'm saying. When I'm sitting here, when I'm talking to you, and if I listen to some voices which are talking to me, which you are unable to listen to, it's known as auditory hallucination. There are different kinds of hallucinations. Hallucination, the definition is perception of sensory stimulus or object without having its real existence. Say for example, right now if I see a kind of a snake, it's a hallucination. It doesn't exist anymore here. That is known as visual hallucination. The voices that somebody hears, in absence of people around, nobody is talking around, but still he listens to the voices, are auditory hallucinations. There are some patients in the intensive care who have organic psychosis, psychosis because of underlying medical problem, have hallucinations regarding touch. They are known as tactile hallucinations. If you want to see this kind of patients, I can show you in when you come to Global Hospital. I'll describe this kind of patients for you. The patient lying in the bed in the ICU would scratch here and there, or look around as if somebody is, you know, pulling or scratching here and there. This is known as tactile hallucination. Nobody is touching or pulling clothes or nothing. Then they have a sensation that somebody is pulling or, you know, pushing or scratching or something like that. They are known as tactile hallucinations. So visual hallucinations, tactile hallucinations, auditory hallucinations. There are some people who have gustatory hallucination. You know, nobody is eating, but then you feel, you know, as if you are eating something. You have a taste in your mouth. Right now, as if there is a chocolate in your mouth. It's known as gustatory hallucination. Similarly, there is a hallucination related to nose, smell. It's known as olfactory hallucination. It happens in different kinds of neuropsychiatric illnesses. So why I'm giving you this kind of examples? Because this patients of schizophrenia can have this kind of hallucinations, especially auditory hallucinations, visual hallucinations. They have different kinds of delusions, paranoia, that people are after him or her, they will be harmed or killed or harassed by people. Whereas there are no signs of terror around, you know, people are comfortable, easygoing, you know, absolutely relaxed, in a very sane, peaceful atmosphere. They have those kind of delusions with them, false, fixed, firm belief, you know. And even if you try to persuade them that there is no fear, there is no reason why you should be scared, why you should be frightened, despite your persuasion and counseling, they would still hold that, no, there is somebody who is after me, there are some people who are watching me, you know. So it's known as paranoid, persecutory delusion. So there are different kinds of delusions. Somebody has a somatic physical delusion. The patient comes to me. There was a medical student, in fact, who I remember 20 years back came into our clinic saying that I have a tumor in the abdomen, you know, in the tummy. And he got an x-ray of his tummy, you know, showing that there is something there, you know. Although the doctors were knowing that the x-ray was normal, but he was holding that fixed false belief that there is a tumor in that part of the tummy. So that is known as physical delusion. Even if you try to persuade them, try to confront them, try to reason out them, this is wrong. What you are holding, the belief that you are holding is wrong. So they still hold the belief. And because of those false beliefs, false delusions, there is gross abnormal behavior, there is gross deterioration of personal hygiene and functioning and self-care. There is a gross deterioration in the social interaction, social relations, and obviously they don't work properly. They aren't fit to do a job. So this kind of patients have a tendency to either go into very aggressive mode or even violent behavior, you know, or they have tendency to harm somebody or hurt somebody. This is something unusual I can see, you know, when we are talking in Gyan Sarovar Baba's house about this kind of symptoms. I can see some faces are a little scared of what I'm saying, you know. But this happens. This is a reality. And these are different illnesses. Neither they are at fault, nor you are at fault. If you happen to see this kind of patients, even at center, they are the patients. What happens? Why it happens? Most of the psychiatric illnesses happen because of abnormal genes that they have inherited from the parents or grandparents, which they are not aware of. Somebody has inherited the genes of schizophrenia. Somebody has inherited genes of bipolar disorder. It runs in the families. And this kind of genetically predisposed persons, if they are exposed to a very severe stressor, can break down into psychosis. And that's how schizophrenia or bipolar disorder takes place. As Sister Diane said, meditation cannot help this kind of patients who are in acute psychotic state, who don't have contact with reality, who are not in touch with reality, they are already lost into their world of hallucinations and delusions. Obviously, they are not the fit candidates for learning meditation or doing any kind of karma yoga at the center. Major depression, the third illness. What happens? These three illnesses have a kind of a continuum. It's a graded, aspect of one's abnormal psyche. Major depression, then bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia. There are different theories about it, you know. How a person goes into depression and then goes into bipolar disorder and then schizophrenia. And it's kind of a continuum. Even previously, people used to believe that these are the same illnesses in different severities, different grades. We all have experienced depression, sad mood, haven't we? Nobody in this world is perfectly mentally healthy, including Baba's children. To experience sad mood or depression for a minute or two or an hour or two is normal. It's normal. Take it from me. Psychiatrists say that somebody who experiences depression for about an hour or two or even a day is normal. But if it exceeds more than 24 hours or 48 hours, which causes significant deterioration in your occupational and social functioning, then it is not just day-to-day depression, it is clinical depression. It is an illness. There are some neurotransmitters in the brain, neurotransmitter chemicals in the brain, which, you know, travel from one neuron to the other, from one center to the other of the brain. And the level of those neurotransmitter chemicals in the brain get decreased in depression. And that's why person experiences this kind of symptoms. And if it exceeds more than 2 days, it's known as clinical depression. It can be treated by change in your daily routine or change in your lifestyle or following Baba Srimad accurately, but at times you cannot cure the depression and you probably have to take help from a psychiatrist, because those neurotransmitters can be corrected, that imbalance in the neurotransmitters can be corrected only with appropriate psychiatric treatment. We aren't aware of our own genetic constitution that we have inherited in this 84th birth. This particular body that we are riding on, this chariot, has normal genes as well as abnormal genes. Some of us have inherited the genes of diabetes, some of us have inherited the genes of hypertension or heart disease, some of us have genes of schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. We aren't aware of it. So, we aren't aware of the fact that when or why we would go into depression or we would develop schizophrenia, because we already have those genes, right? Nobody can predict from now on that this particular brother or this particular sister will develop diabetes after 2 years or will develop heart disease within 6 months. Nobody can predict that, because we don't have that sophisticated, you know, therapies of having genetic mapping of our own body, which is underway now. The science is getting pretty refined because it's preparing to have the golden age as early as possible. So I'm sure it would come into practice within 4 or 5 years. Scientists are trying very hard, I tell you, to bring golden age as early as possible. The doctors, the medical scientists are trying hard to eradicate all illnesses, not just physical illnesses, but even psychiatric illnesses. Stem cell therapy, you must have heard about, gene therapy, genetic engineering, and different nanotechnology. Have you heard of nanotechnology these days? Very highly sophisticated way of giving medicines to the organ which is diseased. Until this kind of research is take place and we eradicate all the genes, abnormal genes from our bodies, we have to bear with this kind of illnesses. Right? Because before the golden age comes, all the illnesses should be eradicated from the world. And I'm sure it would be eradicated. It depends upon how fast we become perfect and how fast Baba takes us to the golden age, right? Coming back to the three major illnesses, schizophrenia, bipolar depression, and major depression. In short, schizophrenia usually develops during teenage or young age. The person starts developing different hallucinations and delusions. It can be of different types. It can be paranoid delusion, it can be physical delusion, it can be grandiose delusion. We had a patient who used to say that I am Jesus Christ, you know, and take drishti from me, you know. And he was very angry, rather very violent, you know. If you don't take drishti from me, I'll kill you. Now, this is obviously grandiose delusion, you know. It's not a reality. Right? Jesus Christ won't kill anybody. Would he? No. So this kind of grandiose, very highly, abnormally inflated self-esteem with very big delusion, grandiose delusion we call it. It can also be there. This kind of grandiose delusions usually happen with manic patients who are maniac, who hold different kinds of abnormal, very big delusions. and detect according to those delusions, you know. Say for example, there was a boy who came to me. He was from Germany. And he used to say that he is Shiv Baba, you know. And he would expect everybody to follow him and take drishti from him. And obviously, he wasn't taking care of himself. He wasn't taking shower. He wasn't eating well. He was in a very shabby, very, you know, very bad shape as far as the outer look was concerned, and was fighting with anybody at any time. But still used to say that I'm Shiva. Now, how can you say, right? These are different delusions. I'm describing you because so that you can be aware of it. Shiva Baba is not omnipresent, you see. He cannot easily enter into anybody's body and, right? And in that abnormal behavior, with that kind of an abnormal behavior, cannot do any act, right? Anyway, so he wasn't studying properly, he wasn't following his mother's advice, and he was 19 years old and left his studies, was not doing any job, and it happened almost for 3 years until he came to Madhuban. One of his BK teachers said that, why don't you come to Madhuban and take some, you know, sakash from Baba and Baba's family, and probably your schizophrenia, your mania would be alright, you know. But then it worsened, and then I had to hospitalize him in Global Hospital. Then he became alright. Now he's studying and also doing a job there. Then since then he hasn't come to visit Madhuban. He's on medication, he's on mood stabilizer medication, and he's doing very well. Of course he's going to the center, listening to the Muralis. He doesn't claim that he's Shiva Baba, you see. Anyway, so now he's up to date. He takes shower, he takes appropriate self-care, he takes care of her mother as well, you see. Earlier on, mother used to take care of him. Now he takes care of his mother. So, these are the symptoms of schizophrenia. What happens in bipolar disorder? It's a mood disorder. It's a mood disorder in which there are episodes of very high mood and low mood. You know, patient fluctuates between the manic episodes and the depressive episodes. Sometimes these very high inflated mood, which can harm others. They have little abnormally elevated, inflated, pathological high mood, grandiose, you know. It's not the usual elevated mood that the Brahmins enjoy. It's something more than that. And they feel as if they are on the top of the world. They behave according to their mood and grandiose delusion. They don't do anything. On the contrary, they would be very hyperactive, you know, would do many things at a time. They will fail in all their actions. They won't be successful at all in any action. And on the contrary, they would have a lot of loss. They can buy quite a lot, as Sister Diane said. They would go for shopping worth, you know, thousands of dollars or pounds. They would accumulate many, many things without any reason. But they enjoy, you know. But this is extreme mania. At times they are so violent, they become homicidal, aggressive, and they need to be hospitalized. They are usually the people who are brought by the relatives or restrained by relatives and brought to the hospital. They are harmful. They are at times very hurting, even physically to others, or at times they become homicidal, you know, they try to kill others. So these are the patients who are the manic patients, and they need treatment. You have to put them on medicines. You may find this kind of people, students, coming to your center, you know. So you have to be aware of this kind of signs and symptoms. Depression, as you all are aware of, if it lasts more than 2 days, there would be very less interest in work or social relationships with others, and they would perceive the whole world very negatively, and at times They would be so frustrated, hopeless about their own life, that they would think of committing a suicide or end life, you know. And these are the patients who also need to be treated by psychiatrists. Baba's philosophy, Baba's knowledge, meditation does help to an extent. But then they also have to be treated by their family psychiatrist. Right? I hope I'm clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikhil. That was great. Wonderful. Okay.
So I'm just going to add a bit to what you've heard from Dr. Patel and Diane, and very practical things for us living in centres and dealing with the people that come through the door. So just in relation to mental illness, sometimes when we hear the term mental illness, we think that the person with mental illness is psychotic or is unwell, but a person with mental illness can actually be well. So we see some Brahmins who have mental illness, and it might be a psychotic illness, but they're actually well. So they can come to the centre and they can maintain a stable lifestyle. Unfortunately, one of the things that can happen is that when people do feel very well, they tend to stop taking their medication. And some of the things that we would call early warning signs, would be some changes in the person's behaviour. So in your centres, if you have anybody who does have a mental illness and they're well, just to be aware of what some of the early warning signs for their particular illness might be. And as has been mentioned with bipolar disorder, for example, it might be that the person, their mood does seem to be becoming increasingly more elevated. It might be initially that they might seem quite funny or that they're a lot happier than usual or whatever, but if the mood starts becoming too elevated, they can start becoming quite irritable. Also, they may suddenly increase their feeling to do service or to do certain types of activities which aren't usually a part of their normal lifestyle, and they may start sleeping much less. But also a kind of underlying irritability may be there, and you may start noticing that a bit more. And for example, with somebody with schizophrenia, if someone has schizophrenia, they start becoming a bit unwell. Some of the things you might notice is that they may not be paying attention to their physical, as doctor was mentioning. They might start smelling a bit, or quite a bit. They may not be washing. They may not be taking care of their hair, any of their, you know, personal grooming. They might start laughing a bit more to themselves, talking to themselves, seeing things, as in the hallucinations that might be seeing, that preoccupy their concentration. And if they're hearing voices, they may start responding to those by even talking back to them. Now, just something I want to mention here too, culturally, and Brahmin culture is one culture, but within that we do have different cultural backgrounds, and I guess because I'm from Australia, I'll talk a little bit about the Australian Indigenous culture, the Aboriginal people of Australia. Now, as far as their mental health goes, if they start having a situation where someone starts hearing voices, and this might be the same in some of the other indigenous cultures. You might recognise it in your own. It's not necessarily seen as a problem or a bad thing. It might be seen as being, you know, the voice of an ancestor that's died, or grandmother just died the other day. She's speaking to the person. So there's different recognitions of what may be determined as hallucinations and responses to mental illness. And Diane and I are actually going to be looking a little bit down the track into this area, because I know in Western mental health there's some very specific guidelines and ideas about treatment. In some other countries, things are seen in a bit of a different way. And as I mentioned, with the Indigenous people in Australia, as far as their mental health goes, we are trained to actually understand it in a very cultural way. Otherwise, we can't help. Because if we're not understanding them, then they won't engage. And so this may happen in your sense. Person's not feeling understood. They might be from a different culture, therefore they're not going to feel trusting. And especially if they have an illness like schizophrenia, for example, and they're becoming paranoid, their level of trust, which may or may not have been there in the first place, is actually going to be lessened. So just a few things that you may recognise. Religious delusions that has been mentioned can be a fairly common thing, and the themes of people thinking that they're, you know, God or Jesus or Brahma Baba or the Virgin Mary or, you know, the Pope or whoever. And usually they're fairly relative to the time, you know, whoever's sort of in the news at the time, that kind of thing. But people's delusions may be such that they really do feel that they are that person and start acting accordingly. So that can be a reasonably common theme with people with schizophrenia. And just to mention a couple of people that you've probably heard of that have bipolar affective disorder and are very well known, I think he's died now, but Spike Milligan, the comedian, yeah? And John Cleese. So two comedians actually have this disorder. And you can see that, you know, the level of very elevated behaviour and followed by depression. And one thing that's really, really very important is medication. And, you know, sometimes we may have a very holistic viewpoint that medication is not such a good thing. And it's commonly understood that medications for mental health are quite strong. Some of them can be very strong, and some of them can also have side effects that are quite unpleasant. People don't like to take the medication necessarily. And depending on the level of insight a person actually has into their own illness, and that level of insight might be there because they have become unwell quite a bit and they've come to terms with it. People with, older people with schizophrenia sometimes are so, you know, at home with their voices that they're fairly comfortable with them, although they can still have some debilitating experiences. But I guess our responsibility is that if we do have someone coming to our centre that has a mental illness, then it's pretty good to know that they are taking their medication, and if there's any sense that they may have stopped taking their medication, then, you know, it's something that does need to be discussed, because somebody could become quite unwell quite quickly, and particularly if they have a nature to become, you know, maybe suicidal or distressed in a way that they may become paranoid, and therefore that further they might become violent. And often people with mental health disorders when they're unwell are thought to be, you know, vicious, violent and so on. Well, the vices can erupt quite a bit as far as anger goes. Often this is because there's a combination of taking drugs and, you know, medications that may irritate the person. A person with schizophrenia isn't necessarily a violent person. What can happen is that, you know, a person may self-medicate if they start experiencing, you know, some kind of inner dis-ease or discomfort. They might start taking drugs or they might start taking alcohol. And on the surface, that might appear to become a problem, but it may be that they're actually self-medicating to, you know, keep the voices down or keep themselves a bit more grounded. And sometimes that's not seen until they might stop doing that. So a situation may arise that we might be taking students in for the course, and it may be somebody who has, you know, up until that point been drinking alcohol or coming from some kind of recovery, drug recovery program or alcohol, whatever. They may have drug or alcohol issues, personality issues that go with that, or they may have been someone that actually has an underlying psychotic illness. And Diane and I spent quite a bit of time yesterday discussing, you know, the idea that meditation doesn't actually cause psychosis. Some people might think it does. But usually there's an underlying illness that's there, and that a person who starts meditating a lot or more than they had been previously, and, you know, not drinking, not taking drugs and so on, the symptoms of the psychosis will start to emerge. Yeah? And one thing, I guess, that's pretty important, and that is, like, the risk that may be present. And as far as somebody was mentioning the other day at a retreat centre that a person was really going crazy and sort of throwing things, and that this person had to be restrained by whoever was there. Now, that's not really something that we all want to start getting involved in. So ideally, if the situation's looking like it's going to be, you know, escalate, become a bit violent, if we're not able to talk to the person or, you know, settle them down or even get some relatives in there fairly quickly, then we should probably call the police. They're best in dealing with those type of situations. Otherwise, you know, we might harm ourselves and others. But only if the situation's looking like that. It's probably not a common thing. So, in relation to the laws of our countries, you know, there would be specific laws in regards to Mental Health Act. You know, patients that might be voluntary, people that go and are treated for their illnesses, you know, they agree to that, they're happy to do that. The other side of the coin is people that are not happy to do that and therefore would, if they're at risk, need to become an involuntary patient. And that would be because they're self-harming, hurting themselves in some way, or that they're, you know, actively talking about suicide with a plan, or they're talking about something that might be homicidal, wanting to hurt others. You know, for example, a young mother who's got postpartum psychosis, she's just had her third child, hasn't bonded well with the child, doesn't like it, you know, maybe wants to get rid of it, so has a bit of a plan to do that, that type of thing. And So it's quite important in our centres that we actually have, if we have students that we know of that can become unwell, and interestingly enough, we may have been in our centres for a long time and have students there, and this situation happened recently, where someone may have been coming for a few years, and, you know, the feeling that you know them quite well, and it's not until some situation happens and they become a little bit unsettled. And this happened recently where the centre coordinator had no idea that this person actually had a bipolar disorder after, you know, about 3 years. And this was a student that was coming to class every day and quite actively helping. So it's really advisable to have good connections with people's families, because that might be the first port of call. If, you know, the person is becoming unwell, you can contact their mother or their father or partner or whoever it is, and they may have been people who've been through the situation beforehand and know what to do. It may not always be easy to do that, because sometimes the families are a bit reluctant to, you know, especially if it's a situation where the person may have to be involuntary, be taken to hospital. But in a sense, our own duty of care would be to actually make it known. There's been lots of situations where Brahmins have been very well-meaning, but have actually allowed people that have a developing psychosis, or a psychosis that's, you know, brewing and slowly getting worse, to actually become worse because it hasn't been nipped in the bud soon enough. And so the sooner that we're on to that, the better. And it, I mean, it's not cruel, it's not mean, it's not tough, but it's really actually quite necessary in the situation to act in that way, because it can help repercussions in the end. And so keeping families on side. One situation in a centre I was at, the mother would ring up occasionally and say, oh, have you seen, you know, Billy lately? He's actually quite unwell. And we hadn't seen him for a few weeks, and we thought he might have gone on holiday or something like that, but he wasn't that well. So in that relationship with family, you can work together to see that the appropriate things do start happening. And sometimes it doesn't mean the person has to go into hospital. They may have a case manager in the community who is someone that sees them quite regularly at home. And maybe a few days' medication might assist the situation and bring it back to normal. But also about developing that trust with the person as well.